This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2017-2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Player.fm, Google Play Music, and Satchel. I am out of my wits because we are no longer on one website, so my rhythm is all off. And we haven't done this show in a while, so it's good to get back in the podcast chair. The Capitals, the NHL, have been very busy the last couple days, last couple weeks. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, he's no longer Coach Dan. He's Big Daddy Dan. What's going on, man?
That was a weird thing to hear. Not so much that I'm a dad now, but just that you said that.
Big Daddy Dan, that's you, man.
Can you hear him in the background?
No.
Okay, he's in the room making noise.
But so for those of you that don't know out there, Coach Dan became a dad since we talked last. Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you.
You are officially important to someone in this world, which is good thing.
So nice to hear.
But I don't know how much you want to share on the podcast, but what's it like being a dad for this? I mean, it's been, a month already?
He's 5 weeks old. He was 5 weeks old, I should say, on Tuesday. It's been interesting. You know, he's kind of boring right now. He doesn't really do much. He eats, he sleeps, he poops.
God, he
makes a lot of crying sounds when he's a wonderful life.
Yeah, what a way to live.
He's boring, you know.
Have you put him in skates yet? Have you given him a hockey stick?
Winning the cup. We have not put him in skates yet. It's gonna take a little while. That's a very expensive thing to get him into, so we'll see about that. he's boring.
Can you imagine your kid is growing up in a world that has always known Caps as Stanley Cup champions?
That is true. He was born while they were still the defending champions.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way to do it. And I know you shared it on a couple social media places, but everybody knows Wes Johnson, the man, the voice behind the Capital One Arena. He's on Cameo, and I got him to do a cameo for you to welcome the new bundle of joy into your life. So, you seemed like you were really excited about that. Were you kind of shocked to get that cameo just sent to your phone that day? Because I got to tell you, like, I kept telling you, like, let me know immediately when the baby comes. Let me know everything's okay. And I was being a caring friend, but also I really wanted to get that cameo to you as quickly as possible.
So it was quite surprising. He was born at 5:54 in the morning, so it was quite early. I think I had been up since 4 after probably only getting 4 to 5 hours of sleep. And so it's sort of the exhaustion mixed with the holy crap, there's a tiny human that I'm responsible for now, mixed with a lot of other things. And then I saw that, and I was like, oh, Brandon found a cool video of Wes Johnson. But I had heard of Cameo, or this was called, right?
Yeah, Cameo.
And I had heard of it before, and I was like, what did he do? And then when I watched, I was like, whoa, this is like holy crap, this is pretty cool. So then I showed it to my wife, and she was smiling. And then I showed it to I think I sent it to my sister, who's a Caps fan, some other people. And it was very cool, so thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't bring it up because I wanted that or anything, but you know, I just was like, you know, we do a Caps podcast. I knew Wes Johnson did that, and I was like, man, what a way to welcome the newest Caps fan into the world than have Wes Johnson kind of like do an announcement for it. So I thought that was really cool. But that's what's been going on in your world. Caps world has been very busy. I don't know how much you have kept up with it, given the fact that you do have this tiny little human looking out for you. But The Capitals are very busy. The NHL regular season schedule was released yesterday. We're recording this on Wednesday the 26th. So on halfway to Christmas Day, the Caps gave out their own Christmas gift, put out the schedule, and the Caps open the season on the road against the defending Stanley Cup champions, the St. Louis Blues. Coach, does the NHL hate us, or are the Capitals just such a ratings juggernaut? There's no other way you can open up a season.
Well, I certainly don't think it's the second thing that you said. you know, I'm not really that hard pressed. Like, it was different when the Penguins won it, and they were like, all right, you're going to go there. And it's like, screw you. So I'm not overly worried about it. I think that there's no real animosity between these two teams, so I think it'll just be a good game. And good on the Blues. I'm glad that they won over Boston, so that it's fine. I find it odd their first two games are both on the road, though.
Yeah, first two, they go to St. Louis, and then they go to New York for the Islanders. Their first home game is that Saturday the 5th against Carolina, the team that knocked them out of the playoffs last year. So again, really, love for the Caps all around
to
start this season.
Well, I'd like to think the Caps actually knocked themselves out of the playoffs with their poor play. Given Carolina did, you know, they did a good job, no question about it. But I feel like the Caps could have gotten further had they not played like absolute garbage.
That's true. They did do that. But look at that. So you've got two games on the road, and you've got your first back-to-back within the first three games, and your first home game, you're coming off two road games. With travel and everything, these guys are going to be exhausted.
Yeah, but it's New York. Nah, it's New York.
Oh, yeah, you know, even better. Your second game on the road is against your old coach.
No, I mean in the sense of it's not far, dude. So, like, you get a game's over 9:45. You're probably on the plane by 11. You're home a little after 12. You probably skip the morning skate. You get to the rink around, I don't know, 3 or 4 for the whole, you know, they'll have the festivities outside. So I'm not overly concerned about that back-to-back. Now, if they're coming from, like, St. Louis or the West Coast, like, that's a different story.
Yeah, moving on, just looking at the schedule, they do their normal Western Canadian road trip at the end of October. However, they don't play Saturday, so they won't be a part of that Hockey Night in Canada series.
Darn.
Usually that Saturday night is Caps and Vancouver or Caps and Calgary, so it's a little weird to see them playing Tuesday, Thursday, Friday and having off that weekend, because usually they play some sort of Halloween game, but I guess that they can have their Halloween party that Saturday of the 26th.
Yeah, I gotta go trick or treating. Can you take does it make sense to take a 5 month old trick or treating? Dude, or is that just kind of stupid?
Then you get candy.
That's true. That's a good point.
Exactly.
Good call, dude.
So then after that, looking at November, pretty normal schedule there. If you're looking for something to do around Thanksgiving, they play on Wednesday the 27th against the Florida Panthers. They have off Thanksgiving. That is the United States Thanksgiving, not Canadian Thanksgiving. And then on Black Friday, they're up against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Both of those games are in D.C., and the Tampa Bay Lightning game is a 5 o'clock afternoon game. So after you get done doing all your Black Friday shopping, you can go right there. And then looking at the holidays in December, they play on the 23rd. Then they have a Christmas break, and then they're back that weekend. And then they play New Year's Eve against the Islanders at 1 o'clock. So early game, set up for your party, and then enjoy yourself later that night. They have their bye week in January from the 19th through the 25th, which that's really good. I guess get that out of the way early. And then on Super Bowl Sunday, February 2nd, the Capitals are always hosting. They're always hosting their own Super Bowl party this year up against the Pittsburgh Penguins, 12:30 start for that game. So not surprising there. We faced the Vegas Golden Knights in the past. We've faced Detroit.
Do you remember the year that they took on Pittsburgh on Super Bowl Sunday? We had that huge snowstorm.
That's right. Yeah. Wasn't that the Snowvetchkin?
I think so. I remember missing the first period because I was walking around my neighborhood trying to figure out
how to get home,
be able to get out. If we'd be able to get out because we didn't have power,
right?
I was living at home. My parents were like, or my home, obviously, it was in my parents' house, and they were like, "We're going to a hotel to watch this game if we don't get the power back." So that was entertaining.
Also in February, February 1st through the 12th, the Capitals are at home. So, I mean, that is a long homestand. They play four games
over that time.
Yeah,
they have a three-day break in there.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that week, they don't play. So we've seen the Caps kind of get out of that rhythm where they don't have games to play, and they usually don't fend very well. So that worries me that they have their week-long break, the 19th through the 25th in January, and then February 1st through the 12th, they're at home. So hopefully they don't get too lackadaisical, I guess, with their play. That would be nice. And then in March, they have kind of a normal ending there. They do have St. Patrick's Day weekend. They're up against the Blackhawks. What else do we got going on? I mean, pretty normal. They're playing lots of weekends. Not doing too many Wednesdays, which is good for our show. And then they end the entire season against the Florida Panthers in Florida, April 4th at 7 o'clock. So this is going to be an interesting season. This is definitely not going to be an easy one. I don't think it ever is in the NHL. You got the Stanley Cup champions at the end of March, the Rangers. Then you have Buffalo against and Toronto. You got Pittsburgh in there, too. I mean, definitely not going to be a cakewalk for this team. It never is. But some good games coming up, some good fun games you can enjoy. So I'm already looking forward to October. What about you?
I'd like to go to the game against Vancouver because I like the Canucks as well in November.
When do they 23rd? When do they play Vegas in Vegas?
They play at NDC November 9th. They go out west. That would have made sense right there because they're in San Jose, LA, and Anaheim.
But there you go. Okay, so February 17th, it's a Monday game against Vegas. I don't know. Maybe have a long Valentine's Day weekend.
It's a 6 p.m. start on a Monday.
That's odd. Well, 6 p.m. there? Yeah, that would be 9.
No, it says 6 p.m. Eastern.
It does say Eastern.
Standard.
Yeah. That's very odd. Wait, is that a holiday? That's a holiday. Is that President's Day? That might be President's Day.
I don't know.
I think that's President's Day, so I think that's why.
All right, well, either way, yeah, it's a bit of a weird time, but either way, should be fine.
Yeah, so good schedule. The Capitals, I think they hopefully keeps them busy, not worrying about other things going on. One guy that will be enjoying this next season because his feet will be up. He will be chilling poolside, I'm sure, with his kids. Brooks Orpik announces his retirement after 15 seasons in the NHL. Of course, he is a Stanley Cup champion with the Washington Capitals and Pittsburgh Penguins, but most importantly with the Capitals. Coach Dan, you've been critical of Brooks Orpik with his time here and his contract. What's your feeling with him finally announcing his retirement?
I wasn't surprised that he had retired. I like to point out that I was critical of his contract, not necessarily him as a player. I think I always, not always, but I followed up occasionally with saying that, you know, I wouldn't mind having him back at a much cheaper rate. But I think
we did this past year.
That's correct. And then that worked out. I think he was a great role model for the younger players. I think when he came in with Niskanen, they were really able to, I mean, it might be more so Orpik, but they were really able to change some of the culture in the locker room. And we saw how well that worked out. And we saw when he announced his retirement, how many of his teammates, or now I guess former teammates, reached out to talk about the impact that he made on them as a professional in their lives. And I think that just goes to show you how much they really enjoyed working with him. And I think, you know, if he wants to do a coaching role, it's definitely in his future. But it sounds like his body just wasn't able to really do it anymore. And I think there was something where he was having trouble getting up steps. If you can't do something like that, something fairly simple, like, you know, it's time to think about your life outside of or after your playing career.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of us are shocked with Brooks Orpik's announcement for retirement. I think a lot of Caps fans were calling for it the last couple of years. He definitely was not as fast as some of his teammates. But like you said, off the ice and even on the ice, he was a great mentor. He was a great guy to bring in the young guns. I don't know if you saw, but there's pictures of him at development camp right now for the Capitals. So he's still working with the young guys.
Is he just watching?
He was just watching. He was kind of on the bench checking everything out. I would, like you said, I would not be upset if he came back in a coaching role, managerial role for the Capitals. I think he would be a great influence on these guys. We've seen him, you know, kind of be a father figure to like guys like Jacob Varana, who is not a defenseman. He's a good guy to have in the locker room. He's got a good attitude, and he's like 15 years of experience in the NHL. Unfortunate, like you said, his playing days are over due to his health. He said he just didn't want to play through the pain anymore, and who can blame him? Two Stanley Cups. He's got a great career. He's done everything he can. I'm excited to see what he does next, but that leaves a pretty big gaping hole for the Capitals on defense. They traded away Madison Bowie earlier this year to the Detroit Red Wings. They we'll talk about the draft coming up, but they didn't draft a defenseman until I think the fifth round. So what do you see the Capitals doing going forward with this defense? You know, free agency's coming up. Are they going to be making a play for somebody to make an impact immediately on defense?
I'm going to say no. I don't really know. I don't know if I see them going after a defenseman. I mean, they made one big move in terms of their defense in sending Matt Niskanen to Philly for Radko Gudas, which for me was not only surprising, but I have said not so nice things about him as a hockey player on this show. And so I just hope he's not aware of that because he seems like a rather large individual.
I told him.
And I, oh God, of course, you bastard, you gave me so much trouble. So I think losing Orpik and losing Niskanen does open up a bit of a hole in your defensive core, but I feel like it's time to bring up, you know, a young guy. I think Singenthaler is ready to make his mark in the NHL. And I think Christian Juice is going to rebound from his sophomore slump he had this past year, as well as the injury. And so I think you have a nice, solid group of defensemen right now that you can move forward with rather comfortably. I mean, you have, and I don't know necessarily what the pairings would be, but let's just throw this out there. Let's say you have Carlson and Kempney and Jensen and Singenthaler, and then you have Juice and, oh, you know what? I forgot about Orlov. So you have Orlov and Jensen and then Sengenthaler and Juice or Gudas. There's your seven defensemen right there. And you have a couple of young guys that might want to make a play for a roster spot. But I think those are your seven defensemen going into the season, with probably Sengenthaler, Juice, and Gudas kind of rotating.
Yeah. Is there anyone you think in Hershey could move up and make a splash in training camp and actually get a spot? I don't really think there is.
Well, it's going to be tough because not only do you have to beat someone out, but you likely have to beat out two people. Because if you're a young guy, I don't imagine they're going to keep you up here to let you sit up in the press box and not play most games. So I think if you have to come in, you're going to need to be able to knock two guys down in terms of the depth chart. And I just don't see that happening at this point in time. I think that a guy like Gudas, who I believe has 1 year left on his deal, he might just be a one and done with his team. And then you have an opportunity for a young guy to come up and make a play. And we want to see what we get from Singenthaler and from Juice. And they go from there. But they have a pretty stable top four right now with Carlson and Kempney and Jensen and Orlov.
Hopefully Kempney's ready to go for the next season. I mean,
I think he should be, right?
His injury was pretty late in the season. I don't know. He might not be able to make it to training camp. I'm not positive.
I can't remember what the last thing about him was.
Well, I mean, since you brought it up, let's move on and talk a little bit about Radko Gudas. Matt Niskanen left town. He was traded to Philadelphia, the poor guy. And in exchange, they got Radko Gudas. And it seems like this was more of a money move than anything.
Money / physicality, because I'm guessing they knew that Orpik was not coming back. And they wanted someone who was a bit physical. And as we have seen, Gudas is incredibly physical while also kind of being a douche on the ice. So it's tough to say necessarily what he's going to do. I think if he comes in and he's headhunting still like he was in Philly, then, you know, I don't know how often he's going to be playing. But if he comes in and can play physically, legally, then it's a solid move by the Caps. And maybe they look at bringing him back next year or after the season, I should say. So we'll see in terms of what they decide to do with him. But I am a bit concerned
that, I mean, teams and fans are already kind of, and refs are keeping an eye on Tom Wilson, and now they just have another guy to keep an eye on this team.
Yeah, that worries me that they kind of have that reputation. I mean, could you imagine what's going to happen in Pittsburgh the first time they go there? Because, I mean, Tom Wilson already, you know, lives in there in the Pittsburgh heads. I mean, they are terrified of that guy. Now to add another goon to the team, to have two guys kind of to keep an eye on in Pittsburgh, they're going to be so angry. But I think this was more of a money move. We're going to talk a little bit about why in a second. But the way this worked out is that Philadelphia, I think, kept like 30% of the Ratko Gudas contract. So the Caps aren't paying him full price, and they no longer have a $5 million contract on the books for Matt Niskanen. So they definitely wanted to re-sign some people, but I think that was the main reason why this deal went down, was they wanted to save some space. They needed a defenseman. Like you said, I'm not a huge Ratko Gudas fan, so I'm not overly joyed that he's a part of this team. Hopefully he can bring some of that physicality with him. We'll see down the road, but it wouldn't surprise me if he is not on this team, you know, around the trade deadline or at some point like that. I wouldn't be surprised if he were to get waived to get somebody else down the road, but we'll see. But after the news of Ratko Gudas coming in and Matt Niskanen leaving, the Capitals announced that they had re-signed Carl Hagelin to an $11 million contract extension for 4 years. All right, Coach, you said you like playing GM. What did you think of this Carl Hagelin deal?
Oh, I thought it was great. Little concerned about the number of years. He's 30. Oh, actually, I thought he was older than that. My bad. Sorry, Carl. I think it's a good move. I think for a guy that can jump in on your second line when you need, but is likely your third line winger for 2.75 a year, I'll take it. When you see that the cap ceiling is actually 1.5 million less, which doesn't seem like a lot of money, but that's potentially a third line or fourth line guy, that's the less amount of money that you're going to be able to spend this offseason and throughout the season, that's a problem. And so to be able to bring in a guy like Carl Hagelin and bring him back, and how great he was on the penalty kill and how much he was able to improve this team on the third and even sometimes second line, I liked it. I think it's a great move, and I like that he's going to be here for the next 4 years. And I see absolutely, you know, I think he gelled really well with Eller when he was playing with him. I think he could play really well. At one point there, I was reading, I can't remember who it was talking about Oshie being on the third line and sort of to prolong his career. I think, you know, if they wanted to go with a lineup of Hagelin, Eller, and Oshie, I think that would be great. You know, that's a very good team that can a lineup or a line that can shut down the other team's top pairing while also being able to put the puck in the net themselves.
Hagelin,
and if it's not Oshie, you know, if it's Connolly, although there's a report that I think the Oilers are looking at Connolly and talking to him potentially right now. It's, you know, it's finding that other winger for that third line, but, you know, having Hagelin back, I think, was a great move.
Yeah, I mean, Hagelin, Eller, Oshie as a third line? Man, that's money right there. That's some major money. I like this Hagelin deal a lot. I like that he wants to be here long term. Dude's got wheels. I mean, when we when we traded for Hagelin and he came here, I was just shocked at how fast this guy can skate. I mean, he melts the ice. He's on fire. It's fantastic to see. I also really like the fact that he was versatile. He started, I think, on the fourth line to just kind of get acclimated to the system a little bit, got moved up to the third, and then it was him and Verana kind of swapping out second, third line spots, and I think that's really good. A lot of these guys can go down with injuries, and it's great that a guy can gel with a line so quickly, and Hagelin was absolutely able to do that. So I think this is a great pickup, and it definitely strengthens the bottom six. So congrats on the Caps for getting this guy long term. I like this a lot.
No, it's a great move. When I saw it, I was a little concerned at what the numbers are going to be. And then when I saw him, I was like, whoa, 22.75 for 4 years for a guy who can fill in on the second line? Like, that's great. When you're a team that is cash strapped in terms of the salary cap, you need to have that flexibility. It's a great move. And it's for 4 years. You're getting him like right in the prime as he starts to get in sort of the end of his, not end, but starts to get a little bit less
What am I trying to say here, Brandon?
You're saying that he's not that he's old, but he's kind of he's reaching the peak of his career.
Yeah, towards the end of the contract, he's starting to get towards that peak. And maybe he plays a little longer. I could be wrong. But I feel like it's, you know, it's right a good time. He's not 27, 26, 27, which would be right in the, you know, getting into your peak of your career. But I think it's a great move.
Now, other Capitals that they are thinking about re-signing, they sent qualifying offers on the 25th to a couple players. They sent that to Jacob Verana, Vitek Vanacek, Colby Williams, Christian Juice, Chandler Stephenson, and surprisingly, Andre Burakovsky. Now, Andre Burakovsky has been trade bait. We've been talking about him, I feel, for a year and a half about whether or not he was the right fit for this team. Would it be good for him to get a fresh start? But here the Caps are sending him a qualifying offer, making him, you know, if he accepts and everything, he wouldn't become an unrestricted free agent. Are you surprised that the Capitals went that route with Burakovsky?
Yes, a little bit. I mean, I think they wanted to try and get something for him if they trade. I was talking with someone on Twitter about this, that I was a bit surprised. And I kind of feel like they missed their opportunity to move him out and get something for him. And, you know, his stock may not be very high right now, but I feel like, you know, it might be a situation where you move him out to another team for a guy that that team has kind of given up on to some extent. But I don't see how you bring him back at the money he's going to be potentially making off that qualifying offer for a guy that just he doesn't produce enough. So, a team that's, like I said, cash strapped with the salary cap ceiling, I'm concerned. I think they've put themselves in a bit of a spot here, and we'll see how they get out of it. Why can't I find on their website the qualifying offer information? It's not here.
Yeah, I can't help you with that.
Yeah, I got to find it, but it's weird. Why isn't it on their website? But it's definitely – I was definitely surprised by the Burakovsky. I wasn't surprised about the other ones. I think everything else made complete sense. I think that – Dmitry Yashkin not getting a qualifying offer made sense. I think Verana, you know, you want to just be able to hang on to him with
Verana for me.
Yeah, signing him long term.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a long. I mean, he's their. I feel like their number one. Well, I would have said that before, but then they went and re-signed Hagelin first, and then moved Niskanen, and then Rupert didn't really do anything. But Verana, I think, is that big one they need to look at in terms of signing him first to a long term deal before they look at like Holtby and Backstrom after next season, and then. Christian Juice and then prospects, Vanacek and Colby Williams. Like, these all make sense. Chandler Stephenson, I guess I was a little surprised, but I think I feel like it makes sense because he's probably relatively cheap. So no reason not to keep him around, have him on the fourth line. And if he's not working out, you might be able to replace him by trading for a fourth line player, or maybe you bring up one of your guys from the minors and go from there. But, the Burakovsky one was a bit surprising.
Burakovsky was a little bit surprising. Jacob Verana, not surprising in any way for me. Jacob Verana, I think, it should be their number one long-term pickup. I think that kid's the future. I think he's the face of the team. He's going to be the guy that everybody looks to when Ovechkin is no longer here. Of course, Braden Holtby and Nick Backstrom are huge parts of this team, but I think Verana has a longer tenure here at this point than they do. I can see them signing maybe for two to 4 years after this season, but Verana, you probably won here for another eight. So Verana is definitely a guy I think should be considered for a long-term deal next. Chandler Stephenson was a little surprising to me because his past regular season and even the postseason this year, not the greatest. He definitely seems like he went down in numbers in every which way. I could be completely wrong about that, but I felt like he didn't produce this past year. But hopefully that was just one bad year. He's been in the system for a long time. They've shown that they have faith in him. So let the cards fall as they may. But Chandler Stephenson was a little surprising, but I also am kind of like, all right, that. Let's see what else can happen. Like you said, he's not that expensive.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of interesting moves that the team's going to have to make going forward in terms of being able to fit in under that salary cap. And we'll see who comes back, who doesn't come back, and where these guys need to fit in. There's some talk that the team might be making a run at Marcus Johansson, trying to bring him back, and how they're going to be able to afford that while also wanting to have guys play on the other lines that they might have. So it's definitely going to be interesting in terms of seeing what they're going to do next season or for next season.
Now, moving on to the draft that happened this past weekend, Capitals did, you know, I think they did pretty well. Let's just talk about the first round guy right here, Connor McMichael. He is a London Knight from the OHL. He's a center. Our buddy Ryan Drury, who has been a longtime fan of our show and a guest on our show as well. This was his pick, and the Capitals actually picked him. Apparently,
yeah, that was impressive that he called it.
He called it really well. He's from Hunters London Knights, so they're all in the family here. What did you think about this? Connor McMichael, a center going first round for the Capitals. Is this more one of those, just grab whoever is good at that point? Who's the best player on the board? Doesn't matter what position they play. Or do you think the Capitals really had eyes on this kid and wanted him?
First, I think it was great that they took a forward because they've taken so many goddamn defensemen over the last couple drafts that it was ridiculous. And it made complete sense that they took a forward. I like that they took a center. Because they, you know, it's a position they're going to need to fill. It's a lot of teams built, I think, I feel like most teams will build their team through their center spots. And Backstrom's not getting any younger, nor is Eller. And so, depending on where this guy might fill out, maybe, you know, he's a guy that comes in and as your, at some point in the future, your second line center if Backstrom's moved on and Kuznetsov's your number one center. So, I think it was a great pickup. You know, I've read a lot of really good things about him that, you know, he's projected to be a very good NHL player. And so we'll see.
Second round, the Capitals went with a right wing from the Prince Albert Raiders from the WHL. Brett, I think his last name is Leeson. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com said this was a first round talent that the Caps got at the 56 overall pick in the second round. So again, like you said, another forward, not a defenseman, a right winger. Could this guy maybe, or could the Caps be looking at this guy going, maybe this is Oshie's replacement when Oshie leaves?
Possibly. He's 2 years older than the other guys. He actually didn't get picked in the last two drafts.
Really?
And I guess took that kind of personally because his statistics, if I read this correctly, in 2017, 2018, he had in 54 games, he had 32 points. In 2016, 2017, he had 18 points in 68 games. This past season in the WHL, in 55 games, he had 89 points. So I guess he took it kind of personal that he didn't get picked. And there's talk about him going straight to Hershey next season to play with the Bears. According to the prospects portion of NHL.com, he's a right winger. You know, he could be Oshie's replacement when he's ready to play. So that'll be interesting in terms of where he ends up. This thing says he models his style of play after Penguins forward Yevgeny Malkin. So I guess he takes a lot of cheap shots at people. Not really sure what they're trying to say there. But, you know, he's 6'4", 210 right now. He's a big dude. You know, I think it's a good pickup, and we'll see what he turns into.
Third round pick. I have no idea how to say this guy's name in any way. Alexei.
His first name has got way too many letters.
Alexei.
They don't belong.
No. Ali. I'm going to call him Ali because his first three letters are A-L-I.
I think it's Alexei, but it's like his parents were like, hee-hee-hee, we're going to mess with everybody. He also models the style of play after Malkin, and he played on the same team as Leeson. Are these guys just hanging out?
Ooh, look at that. You see, that would be good. That would be really good. Think about that. I mean, you're already setting up the Hershey Bears. These guys already know each other. That's good to have that.
Well, he's 2 years younger, so he's likely going back to Prince Albert in the WHL. Mm. But yeah, he was a teammate with Brett Leeson at Prince Albert last year. And so, but he's 2 years younger, so he's likely going to be back in the WHL next season playing. But he's a center, 6'5", 205.
6'5"?
Probably
going
to have to add some. He's quite tall.
Holy cow.
He'll need to add some muscle mass to him likely to become an NHL player. But, you know, Alexei Protas, I think is – I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's P-R-O-T-A-S. I feel like this is a guy to keep an eye on it, whether he's, you know, future second, third, fourth line kind of guy.
And then in the fifth round, the Capitals took a right-handed defenseman, Martin Haas. I don't even know. But here's your defenseman. You were happy they went with the majority of the draft picks this year as forwards, but we have a defenseman in there. What do you think of this kid?
His name is easier to say. 6'4", 192, so he's tall and thin.
So he's got to pack some weight on.
I feel like at that point, you're kind of like, you're just getting what you think is the best player available. It may, you know, of course, he took another defenseman, but who knows? Maybe this kid will turn it around. So, not turn it around. What am I saying? I'm tired. He'll surprise everybody and suddenly become, you know, an outstanding defenseman or a good defenseman in the NHL. And I think it doesn't hurt to necessarily keep stocking the cabinet with defensive prospects. I'm just glad they only took one of them this time, as opposed to like all of their picks being defensemen. Now, so I think, you know, I think next year we hope that they go heavy on the forward again to kind of balance things out a little bit.
Yeah. So also happening this past weekend, not really Caps related. I'm going to step on your toes here a little bit, but there was a big trade, kind of rocked the NHL world when this happened. PK Subban was traded from Nashville to New Jersey, and he is now in the Metro Division. What does this mean to have PK Subban on the Devils up against the Caps in the Metro? I mean, I think this division is going to be a very crowded place come April, figuring out who's going to be in the playoffs.
It was a bit surprised. You know, I kind of thought he had a really big future in Nashville, but it sounds like they were just freeing up some cap space because it seems like they want to make a run at Matt Duchene. And I think it was a really good move for the Devils. I don't think they had to give up too much. And I think a couple of defensive prospects, as well as a second round pick in 2020 and a second round pick in this past draft, 2019. So I think the Devils are not playing around. I think they know that they were potentially going to have a hard time getting Taylor Hall to re-sign. And now it seems like that's much more likely of an option because they're not screwing around. They picked up the kid, Jack Hughes, in the draft, who looks like he's the real deal. And you know, he's likely going to be obviously in the NHL next season and potentially a big star for the Devils. And then they brought in a outstanding defenseman who I think the only knock really against him is that he's a bit outgoing, which is never a bad thing when you're a league that is more of a niche sport and not necessarily in the mainstream media in terms of your publicity and the hype built around you. You know, you're trying to fight with baseball and basketball and football. And certainly at the beginning of your season, you have, you know, the football season, the NFL season, and the NBA season starting up at the end of October. So I think it makes complete sense to have a guy that's a bit outgoing. And it seems like Subban and Hall might be buddies. Mm-hmm. So if anything, that might convince Taylor Hall to stick around. So I think it was a really good move for the Devils. I don't know if it necessarily makes them like they're going to go out and win the division, but they're definitely going to be a team to keep an eye on. And I would imagine they're going to be making the playoffs next year.
I mean, it was a very tight race for that final wild card spot. The Carolina Hurricanes barely made it into that spot. The Penguins were in that spot for a little bit. Columbus was in that spot for a little bit. Now you throw the Devils in there as well. I mean, it's going to be
the Metro's getting better and better.
It really is. And you know, it's maybe that's good. You get kind of have to play playoff hockey earlier than a lot of the other teams, but PK Subban, seeing him that many times that the Caps will, I mean, that's going to be something else to see because he's such a great talent. He's and the Caps have never seen him with that much of that many times in one season, I guess I should say, because he's never really, well, he was in Montreal, right? We saw him there with Carey Price, but I don't know, the fact that he's a little bit closer to the Capitals, that worries me.
I mean, it's not ideal. I don't want to go back to the Southeast Division, but it isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world if the other teams in your division aren't as good.
You think he's going to live in Manhattan?
Just got better this offseason.
Do you think he's going to live in Manhattan and commute to Newark? I can't really see him as a Jersey guy.
I imagine that would suck. So no, I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. But I feel like that would suck.
All right. So anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Not necessarily Caps World, but we do have some NHL news to talk about.
Let's do it. Let's just talk about it.
So former Capital Matt Hendricks also announced his retirement and is taking up a front office and I believe coaching role with the Minnesota Wild. So congrats to him on a what I thought was a great career.
Yeah.
That he was able to get for himself in the NHL.
Another fantastic leader who I think transitions to coaching very easily.
I think that makes sense. And another big one surprise today is that Roberto Luongo announced his retirement. After playing many, many years between Florida and Vancouver. And apparently Vancouver is going to be getting a bit of a cap penalty for Luongo retiring. So that's a bit of a shock, I'm sure, to them.
How does that work?
Not that Vancouver necessarily was near the cap. So I haven't really fully read it, but my understanding is that it – let's see, a $3 million recapture penalty – he had 489 victories. Good Lord. 19 seasons. He's 40 years old. He put on Twitter, he's decided to take his talents to a South Beach retirement home. And I guess he photoshopped hockey pads, like his leg pads, onto a phone.
A power line.
Power line. Thank you. On the, like I said, I'm tired. I have a little one now. On the power line with some shoes are hanging there too. I thought that was pretty clever. He's a pretty funny guy on Twitter.
He is.
So I think it has to do with the contract he signed before with Vancouver that kind of like skirted some, I guess, salary cap type things. So then he, I guess that's Vancouver. I think it will have a year or two of a $3 million cap penalty. I'm trying to read through the article really quickly, but I'm not seeing it at the moment.
Yeah, our buddy Ryan Drury on Twitter was talking about how Vancouver was going to get hit with this penalty and everything. And I was like, wow, he's been out of Vancouver for years now. I don't understand how that could happen. But apparently that's a thing, and Vancouver's just really bad at making deals. I remember they tried to rid themselves of Luongo a long time ago, but no one wanted to take up that contract until eventually some deal was made, and that sent him to Florida.
Yeah, it's, you know... It's a bit weird, but I'd be curious to see how much Vancouver has in terms of cap space.
And I remember when the Caps went down to Florida a couple years ago, and it was right after the school shooting that happened in Parkland. And the Florida Panthers, the Sunshine, is not too far away from that. And Roberto Luongo came onto the mic, and you know, he really said some amazing things to the fans, and he's a fantastic talent on the ice, but he kind of showed that he's a really good guy off the ice, and said that he still plans to stay in Florida and raise his kids there, and that his kids are a part of that community as he is. So I'm going to miss Roberto Luongo. I think he was a fantastic talent, good person, but like you said, I can't wait to continue to follow him on Twitter, because I feel as if him as a player was great. Him as a spectator, that might even be even more funny.
Yeah, it's definitely a Twitter account to follow. I closed the article, so I don't remember what it is, but it's Strombone something, I think.
Yeah, Strombone.
It's definitely a Twitter account to follow. Yeah, so definitely keep an eye on him, because he's a funny dude.
All right, so anything else we should cover in this episode?
A couple trades going down. The Penguins sent Olli Maatta to the Blackhawks for forward Dominic Cahoon and a fifth-round pick in 2019. The Rangers picked up Jacob Trouba from Winnipeg for defenseman Neil Pionk and a first-round pick in 2019. The Flyers aren't messing around. They picked up defenseman Justin Braun for a 2019 second-round pick from the Sharks and a 2020 third-round pick. The Maple Leafs sent Patrick Marleau, a 2020 conditional first round pick and a 2020 seventh round pick to the Hurricanes for a 2026 round pick. Something tells me that can't be right, unless that's a salary dump. Why would you send a first round pick as well? I feel like there's a typo in there. That seems weird. Anyways, Tampa Bay sent JT Miller to the Canucks for goalie Merrick Mazanik, a third round pick in 2019 and a 2020 conditional first round pick. The Canucks sent Tom Pyatt, a forward Tom Pyatt, and a 2019 sixth round pick to San Jose for forward Francis Perron and a 2019 seventh round pick. I believe Dallas sent Tyler, is it Pitlick, to Philly for forward Ryan Hartman. And then I believe Dallas is buying him out. or didn't send him a qualifying offer, something along those lines. It was like, welcome, get out. But it looks like they might be trying to re-sign him at a lesser deal. And then Carolina sent forward Alexi Sorella and defenseman Calvin DeHaanche to Chicago for goalie Anton Forsberg and defenseman Gustav Forsling. And then finally, Colorado has sent forward Carl Soderberg to Arizona for defenseman Kevin Connaughton and a third-round pick in 2020.
Woo! Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, I think we're going to get more as free agency opens on, is it Monday?
I believe. Is it really Monday already? July 1, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I can't. Go ahead.
No, I'd say it's going to be interesting to see who gets signed, where they're going. I know the Caps probably want to make a big play in terms of a forward for the top six if they want to be able to then give Oshie less minutes and sort of preserve him a bit longer. So it'll be tough to see how they're going to pull that off with the complete lack of cap space that they likely are going to have.
I'm really happy that free agency doesn't start on July 2nd because for the fourth time now, I have to go serve jury duty in Baltimore. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, that's weird.
I've been called four times since I was 18. Actually, I've been called more than that, but I was able to get it delayed. I've had to serve jury duty four times, and I have been on two trials. So here's hoping that no one wants to start a case on July 2nd, 2 days before July 4th, because the 4th and 5th are holidays. So let's not do that. But thankfully, July 1st, the free agency stuff will be back, and maybe we'll be back next week doing a show talking about who the Caps picked up. So I think that's pretty much it for this show, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we've wrapped it up.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, Big Daddy Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things when they happen, as well as Arsenal Football Club and other things from time to time, whatever comes to mind that I might find entertaining in the wide world of sports. Let's find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But you can also find the show at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all other kinds of things related to the Washington Capitals. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if people have enjoyed the show and they want to check out other things that you might be in charge of, where should they go?
You can go over to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do around here. The call will be starting up within a month. NFL training camp is right around the corner, so make sure you follow The Call and What the Puck if you are a Ravens or a Caps fan. Let's see, what else should we talk about? Go to Twitter and follow us at What the Puck Pod. Like us over there. Like we said, shows are kind of sporadic at this point until the training camp starts. So it'll be whenever news decides to break. And if you want to know when a show is going to be available, make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. So that's where you can find our show, and we are available there, and we're probably available in other places. Make sure you give us an Apple Podcast review, and let people know. Be social on the web, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch. Anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Coach Dan's got to get back to the baby. Got to feed that kid.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah, that's right. All right, everybody. Say it loud. Say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.